Thank you, Drama and Video Ministry, for putting that drama together, and specifically Abby Haworth wrote and directed that. She's right over here putting that. And thank you, music team, for great music. By the way, the drama that we just saw, some people just stepped into that too, so they did a really great job, so we really appreciate that. We're not specifically talking about fathers today, but we are talking about, we're continuing a series on, Second Timothy, and these two letters and the book of Titus. Oh, good, my PowerPoint's up there. And these are called the pastoral epistles, and they contain like principles of pastoral care, how to select pastors, like general character qualities, and so on, and also warnings about false teachers. And that's kind of where this at, where we're at. We're not really going to be talking specifically about fathers, but maybe what a Christian really is inside, what is a fake Christian or a poser, and then what's the real deal? And we'll talk about a little bit about this. This was written, the second letter was written in 66 AD, about 3 years after 1 Timothy and 1 year after Titus. So it talks about, it's directed specifically at Timothy, so the writing is slightly different. It talks about a call of the soldier of Christ, a character of a soldier of Christ, the caution, the charge, and comfort, all of the soldier of Christ. And so there's going to be kind of three things we'll talk about today. And maybe, there we go. And we're going to talk about posers, and we'll define that in a little bit, what that is. We'll talk about a couple guys that you may or may not be familiar with, Janice and Jombris. And then, what is the real deal? What is the real deal in our, in as far as what does a Christian maybe really look like? What's on the inside? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time where we can study your word and look to it. And what do you have to say to us specifically about this? You know, what so many times we've met people or seen them on television, those that claim that I am of Christ, or I am of God, or so on. And what does that really look like on a day-to-day basis? How will we be able to identify that? And maybe some of those things even in ourselves, Lord. We don't want to be a poser. We want to be the real deal. So we ask that you'd show us today what you have for us. Amen. All right, let's start. And if you have a Bible, there's some Bibles in your pews, or you can use your electronic Bible. We're very modern here. So I would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that's the chapter we're going over today. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Greg Staniger. I'm one of three pastors here. Mike and Dean are the others. And so we kind of rotate our teachings and so on. Let's read this together, starting with verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. This is talking, now it says in the last days, so this is kind of as there's a progression, as Christ's return, imminent return, is approaching. We'll see maybe more and more of this. It seems like haven't we encountered this the whole time? Here's a listing of all of those things. And do you recognize anything from this list, maybe? And I did when I read it, and I thought, boy, I have some of this in me. I felt at times arrogant, boastful, self-love, reckless, hater of good, brutal, maybe without self-control. Maybe you felt that way sometimes. And, you know, we know when we're in Christ, we know that we're sinners, right? So what's so special about this last day's list? Well, we're all this, so how can we have a little bit of this in us? Why is there any different? You know, why, oh yes, why will it be anybody? Everyone's a sinner, so why will we see something different in the end? And let me ask it in a different way. Let me ask this to you guys, not just to you, but to all of you. So, What's the difference between doing the very thing I don't want to do and a practitioner who does not see that it is wrong? So if I see this, I say, well, do I want to be a lover of money? Is that something I really want in my life? I want, all right, money's good for me. I want to be, you ever see the show American Greed? You ever watch that show? We were watching that recently. No one watches it but me, apparently. So I guess I got a problem. But it talks about, okay, let's see, which one am I up there? Because I watched that show. But what's interesting to me is the, yes, God's coming. He's angry. What's interesting about that show is it shows someone that's basically usually a financier or someone that's investing people's money, and they take some of it, they extort it in some way. And it's just amazing. How could someone be that cruel? How could that person be that? Well, when they actually get into that position, do they see it as wrong? And they don't. That's the difference. So we might stop ourselves, or we might say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that because that made me boastful, or it made me one of these things. Maybe I could have been more loving, okay? But someone on this list, the things they're talking about is someone that thinks, this is fine. Hey, I've got it together. This is the kind of thing, if you're going to survive, greed is good, man, right? That's the way of the world. That's the difference. So in the last days, as Satan gains his foothold over people's hearts, they won't know the difference. They'll just relabel these things as good. That's the difference. Let's go on. Second part of this. 2 Timothy 3:5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So they have an outward appearance of some sort of godliness and doing good things, but are really just enjoying the trappings of the spiritual life without having anything inside. There's no fruit. Maybe you've seen this on TV, or it reminds you of somebody, or you've seen it before. And I know where I've seen it before, in another part of the Bible. So stepping back for a second, Paul isn't talking about, you know, how specific this is. He's talking about something he's seen in real life. So he's talking about someone in specifically. Remember in the previous chapters we talked about, here's these guys that are pretending to be, you know, righteous, pretending to be something they're not, preaching something that's not the gospel. That's these guys. And that's how, when you start seeing their fruit, that's when you start seeing who they are. Let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew 23, verse 1. And I won't put it up for you, but I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 23, verse 1. This is where Jesus is speaking to the crowds and his disciples, and it appears that the Pharisees are not there in this verse, but the scribes and Pharisees. But here's what he says about them. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds, this is verse 1, Matthew 23, to the crowds, his disciples, and saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you to do, observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Let's stop there for a second. They say things and do not do them. What's that a definition of? Liar. What's another common word? Hypocrite. Thank you. Hypocrite. And what are Christians often accused of being? Hypocrites, right? They say one thing and not do the other. So this is what Paul is talking about, is that those that appear on the outside to be spiritual or good or just want the trappings of being spiritual without actually doing those things. They tie heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries, and that is little bits of scripture that they have in boxes. And I showed a picture a few several teachings ago. and lengthen their tassels on their garments. That's an indication of how much they know or how much they've studied, kind of like a merit badge. And they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. We, you know, some years ago, I don't know if when Chris was here, sometimes we get catalogs in the mail for churches, you know, and there's a whole bunch of junk you can buy. And one of them was a robes. So we thought, oh, we should get some robes. That would be so cool. And there's purple robes and green robes, and each one indicates like an office. So I think the black one is the pastor, and then the green one could be used for, the purple one is the deacons, and then the green ones would be for the choir. Those are different offices. And maybe the secretary gets a white one, I don't know. But so when I saw those, and we were joking around about, my first reaction was, imagine myself in one of those, and I go, ooh, oh, man, I just wouldn't like that, I don't think. And I know, I don't want to, there are those that, like my dad's church, they wear robes, and they look good in them. They look really nice. But that's just not for us, and that's not for me. And I don't want to say anything against that, but it's just not for me. It's not my, I don't want to be known, I don't want that to be how, that to be an outward trapping. I want people to say, here's a person that followed Christ, not that they looked good in a robe. Right? Don't you want that for yourself? Let's define poser. That was an interesting study. I didn't realize that. So one of the definitions, when you think of the term poser today, what's a definition that you think of poser? What was that? Someone that pretends to be someone else or something that they're not. That's the most common one. That's actually a slang for that. That's a modern slang. It's not the actual definition, but that's what it's come to mean, and I'm sure in a few years it'll be in the dictionary that way. What it actually is from the 1800s, and it means, do you know what it means? It means a person who poses. That was very disappointing. Okay. Especially, though, then it kind of advanced, and before that it meant a person who is trendy or fashionable in a superficial way. And you can see where it's going. So what else, what thing that's not alive poses? A mannequin, right? So a mannequin, is a mannequin alive when it has the clothing on? No, it's just there to model the thing, but it is not a real person. So in the same way, that's kind of where it goes. And of course, what do mannequins tend to show off? Flashy clothes. So as it changed in the early 1900s, it became to mean someone that wants to be part of a society that they're not. They pretend to love something that they're really not a part of, and particularly in the 1920s, that became it. It was actually spelled different, P-A-O-S-E-U-R. If it's French, then it's cool. So it's now, and then, of course, a poser in 1983. It was another. The teens set the trend. It meant a very difficult question. A poser. I pose a question to you. A poser. One that. It means the question that puzzles. Okay, now it's a slang. It means a person who pretends to have various desirable traits and tastes, or they pretend to be something else that they're not. And that's what I'm kind of using it as. Someone that pretends to be something they're not on the inside. We can put a robe on anybody. That doesn't mean they necessarily have the character or the love for the congregation that someone else might have, that a real believer might have, or a real pastor might have. So you can tell a poser, right? We all look at one who just in it for the money or the fame, or not really in it for, they're not in it for others, but for themselves, right? You can say, I don't know everyone's heart, but I question Christian leaders that end up in jail. Okay? Right? And not because they are a believer, but because for swindling or child pornography or misleading people. An example that came to mind from my era was Jim Baker, and there's plenty of others that we even see in our own community. Or they seem to be excessively preoccupied with wealth or flamboyance. You know, Christendom is big business too. You know, you can make a lot of money at it. And it gathers a lot of people very quickly. And spiritualism, if I attach spiritualism to my product, I can sell it better, right? I remember seeing a commercial for the study Bible. You needed this Bible if you really want to study the Bible and so on. Oh, that's what that is. That's the thing blowing on me. Thank you, Mike. What a helpful person. Thank you. See, Mike is concerned about me, or he just couldn't take listening to that anymore. So, Christendom is big business, right? Paul encounters this issue when people start saying, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, right? That's who saw me saved. So, you know, they're great, therefore I'm great. We're such social animals. You know, if you really, you know, Facebook and all those things kind of show that. The church is made of the same people that bless and curse and draw both authentic and fake Christians. They are the posers. A poser is one that may or may not be a Christian by faith, but has not made Jesus in any way Lord. Let me say that again. A poser, as I'm defining it, is one that may or may not be a Christian by faith, but has certainly not made Jesus in any way Lord. That is, or at least some part of their life. That is like that they like the benefits, but not the work. And that always reveals itself. As pastor, one of my jobs is to protect the church, so that's something I keep my eyes open for. You may not know it. I'm, you know, more than just, you know, eating, getting in there and eating all the, you know, the cookies and stuff. And, you know, I'm actually watching for this. This is something I look for, just protecting theirs. I lost my place. Okay. But a poser are those that say, I love Jesus, but then also are malicious gossips in the background. They're saying things, are not trying to heal relationships. You know, they're not going to the person that's offended them. They'll talk to 50 other people instead to get counsel. That's on the list. Who say, I love your message, Pastor, and then proceed to tell everything that's wrong with someone else's life and how they stuck it to the man by stealing office supplies or lying on their application or told someone off the way they really needed to be. Is that on the list? Maybe. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we went to the pastor's conference this weekend, Mike and Dean and I and Chris Yisley, and there was a pastor there that spoke, and I can already tell Dean's going, oh boy, I hope he doesn't mention this teaching, because it was Pastor Dave Putoff, and if you want to visit their webpage, it's cowboychurch.org, and they have just, they attract cowboys. One of their ministries is rodeos, and you go, oh, you know. They actually minister to people at the rodeo. It's kind of like that's a place where the cowboys gather, and that's a place where they're sharing the gospel. I think that's great. I find it would be very difficult to do that, though. I'm wondering how they do it while the guy's tying up the calf out in there, and they're being chased by a bull. But, hey, would you like to take a survey? You know, probably they do it in the crowd. One of the things, though, he talked about was apostolic ministry, and particularly one of the funny lines that he said. And he said, pastoral ordination is from the devil. So, you know, that was his opinion. Now, and this is one of the many things I do, you know, have to do sometimes, that what he meant was, so I think what he meant was, is that I think he's talking about the schooling part, and that as far as, not necessarily that schooling is bad or anything like that, but that the part that he's talking about is that we elevate knowledge over character. And I think that's what he meant. I hope that's what he meant. And it seemed to follow that as long, too. I think that is. That learning is good, but it can only do so much, right? So we understand this all too well. But I tell you exactly what we practice as a race of people. We say knowledge puffs up, but practically we trust in experience, really. And we understand, knowledge may be power, but by itself cannot change the human heart. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Opposer trusts in knowledge, but they trust in knowledge, but their hand, they tip their hand when it comes to the character part. And that is when you can catch them. Essentially, when we look at opposer, they are ones that love the trappings and fellowship and material good things Christianity has with it, but knowingly or unknowingly still operate under the world's rules behind the scenes. So they like Jesus, but they don't really believe him. They are Oscar nominees at it, acting, but it's all not real. He goes on, Paul talks about then these two guys, and let me just read this to you. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all. That's kind of what we just said. Just as Jannes' and Jambres' folly was also. Who are these guys? 100 points if anybody knows who these guys are. Anybody know? They're not in the New Testament. They're from the Old Testament. I'm sorry? No. No. They are part of that story, though. Yes, Chris.
I think that they might have been the two magicians in
Pharaoh's court. Excellent. That's exactly right. Chris. Wait a minute. I told you that. Poser! Unbelievable. That's right. That's these two guys. Right. And this is from The Prince of Egypt. This is the two characters that Steve Martin and Martin Short played, and they did it very well. And they're mentioned again also in Exodus 7:11 and 22. And I was going to read these sections, but for time we're not going to. Basically, their only way they're mentioned, they're not specifically mentioned by name in the Old Testament, but they are mentioned. This is where it says, Pharaoh called to the wise men and the sorcerers. This is from Exodus 7:11. And they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. That means they produced a similar type miracle as what Moses had done. And then they also later, they could make water turn into blood. So they did similar type things, and you see that in this movie, and you also see it in the Ten Commandments. The reason we can specifically connect them is because they're mentioned by other historians specifically by name, and if you're interested in those, I can tell you, but I'm not going to do that now, is some of the Jewish tradition that's interesting about this is that according to Jewish tradition, they actually converted and went with the people in the Exodus. And then they're the same ones that incited the people to build the golden calf. And I think this is what Paul is talking about, is that they pretended to be with them. But then at the end, they actually turned. And then they said, well, you know, what, if you really want to worship your God, you got to build a golden calf, you know, because... And that's what they were really about. And so that's why I think, and Paul and Timothy, both being scholars of Hebrew writings and reading much, you know, all that was available, they were very knowledgeable. That one was Greek, one was Hebrew. They would have been very familiar with the story and very familiar with the background of it. And so I think that's why he used that as an example. Someone, not just a Christian poser, but a Hebrew poser. So, oh yeah, we're going with you on the Exodus, but we really are about worshiping other gods. So that's what I think, that's why they used them. And in the same way, they were really posers, if that's true. So, and I think that's what they believe. So jumping ahead, we're going to go to the real deal. Let's read 1 Timothy 3:10. Now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, presence, love, and perseverance. So this is, it's not only my job to protect, but also to look for people that are the real deal. Who is really doing the things of their heart? Who has made their Lord, Jesus, their Lord? Who is maybe my next co-elder or a replacement for me? You know, that's what I'm looking for. Does he take teachings to heart? Hey, I read this and I applied it. That's what I look for. Conduct behind the scenes things that they're serving behind the scenes, not just they want to be on stage. Do they have a sense of purpose? They can say when they're doing these things, besides, Greg told me to do it. You know, indicate that they really believe. They're patient with others, particularly when they're wrong. They love. They don't gossip about people when they have a problem. They like, they're a mature leader. They confront issues. They are concerned with the health of the church. They love being with the people in the congregation or other congregations, otherwhere. They can just fit right in. They feel and part. They're like a fitting shoe. We were at the pastor's conference I mentioned before, and this is one photograph I took, and you might, I don't know if you can see this, there's Tom Biang, and Tim's brother, and so he was there, and you know, one of the things I love about that conference, when it comes to singing, these guys can sing. They rock the hotel, and anyone in there for business probably going, whoa, what's going on? Because it's beautiful. Why? Because of what's inside. They're the real deal. They believe this stuff. One of the guys, they had an awards time, and I think it was the Heart Award, or the Perseverance, it's kind of a Perseverance Award, and this guy had stuck it out. It's a church in Wisconsin that we have, and he was a pastor for 1 week, and then the pastor that recognized him, the one kind of the senior pastor, left. So he was by himself, and when he accepted this award, and then his father died at the same time, and he stuck it out. That's the real deal. That's the things, they don't give up at the first sign of trouble or boredom or tough stuff. And why? Why is that important? Because when the last day comes, they'll get tough. Things are going to happen. Continue, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors, I think this is where the word poser comes from, impostor, will proceed from bad to worse, and deceiving and being deceived. Those that stick it out, even in persecutions, like being jailed, not because they were swindling, but because they are believers. They have stood up. Beheadings, beatings, imprisonments, facing that reality will really show what a person believes. Where is that happening right now? In the Middle East. Christians, those brothers and sisters going through that right now are the real deal. When it comes your time, will you be? I'm honored to say, I know those in our church, those here, because I know your heart. I have seen it in the little and big things. You think I'm not watching. You think I'm stuffing my face with cookies. I'm not. I know that this is because that's my job to know. Because I need to know who will stand with me when it gets tough. And it will. So are you with me? Amen. All right. Woo. Let's go get the zombies. This is my life verse. It says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men and be strong. The real deal stands firm in their faith to the end. This is the last verse here at the end of the chapter. Last verse is, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Excuse me. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, and so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Do you want to be equipped? Do you want to be ready when this hits? Continue in the fundamentals. It's always what I go to when things go south. I go back to the basis, the Word, getting into the Word daily, prayer daily, my relationship with God, my walk with Him, the fellowship and the truth. If I walk in the light as He is in the light, then I have fellowship with one another. I go back to the beginning because that's what brings me foundation. When I fall away, or may fall away, or may go south, or a friend does, and that's the hardest part. Do I continue to walk? That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Continue what I taught you, what you learned from the Scripture. Why? Because it is inspired by God. Poser does not really care about that. It's profitable for teaching. Posers don't care about teaching because they know everything already. Reproof, correction, training. The real deal wants to grow. A wise man loves reproof, it says in Proverbs. A poser has it all together and is not interested in growing. Reproof is an attack on my status. Adequate and equipped for good work. The real deal has this as a goal. They want well done and good faithful servant at the end. The poser wants to do their own thing and will misuse what they have been given for themselves. The real deal respects the Word of God and fears Him who wrote it. At the conference, again, I'm bringing up this conference a lot. There was a quote that really, that Chris Yeisley, the guy that is actually a poser, but will show, one of the things they did was they say, do you guys fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? We'll define what that means. And so we all wrote definitions, and then they invited, hey, whoever wants to go up there to read their definition. And so a couple of the pastors went up there, and so I kept pushing Chris to go up there. I said, Chris, yours is really awesome. You should go. And John Meyer's looking for somebody, and I know he's far nearsighted, so he can't see Chris. And we're kind of in the back. It's, so he said, Chris, just go up there. So Chris goes up there. Yay. And he did it. And so I'd like him to read that quote for you, and you see if it's the real deal. Come on up here. Can he use this microphone? All right, Chris.
I haven't done anything yet. Go clap.
Okay. So this is what... Okay.
Yes!
I've got like five of these in my wardrobe. All right. So this is what I thought the fear of the Lord is. It is to me, and I wanted to see if you guys resonate with this. The fear of the Lord is a transparent awareness that my sin and rebellion have put me in the crosshairs of a God who hates evil with a red wrath, and the only thing stopping Him from justly annihilating me is the intercession of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it.
Thank you, Chris. Well done. Good job. Actually, the pastors responded in the same way. Because they read us several, and then Chris's was the first one. Everyone went, rah! So I thought that was pretty good. So if the pastors think it's good, then it is good. And it is true. Those men and women that were there, fear God. I believe it with all my heart. And you can tell. And closing here, as the music team comes up, I'm sorry I went a little over, but we talked about posers and what they are. That listing is a part and integrated inside of their life. We may do those things, but they're not something we practice. It's not part of our life. Then we had the example of Janice and Jambres, and then we talked about the real deal. And if I could close with this, is real deal feels, I am not ashamed of this gospel. And notice that it's a feeling word, not just, I know about the gospel and I sort of like it. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your gospel. We thank you for your love. We thank you for being the real deal. Not just talking about nice things. You weren't just a teacher. You weren't a rabbi. You were much, so much more than those things. You were our intercession. And you were the real deal when you died on the cross for us and rose again from the dead. We thank you for that. Help us to be the real deal too. And that light shine out that all the world may know. In your name we pray. Amen.